This evening we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 13 entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness, text number 20. Prakritim purusham chaiva,
Prakritim purusham chaiva,
Vidyanadi ubhavapi,
Vidyanadi ubhavapi,
Vikarangscha gunangscha eva,
Vikarangscha gunangscha eva,
Vidhi prakriti sambhavan,
Vidhi prakriti sambhavan.
Translation. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Report by Srila Prabhupada. By the knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand the body or the field of activities and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the super soul. The body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul that is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha, or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the super soul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the super soul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. Both material nature and the living entity are eternal. That is to say that they existed before the creation. The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities. But the living entities are of the superior energy. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, and when it was required, it was manifested by the energy of Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in him. And because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky. But with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. That is the mystery of this material creation. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part of the Lord, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence. But we should of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes of nature are also productions of material nature. All transformations and variety in respect to the living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikarangscha gunangschaiva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. In the Upanishads, it is explained, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman. There is one supreme eternal, and there are many other subordinate eternals. They are subordinate, but they are also eternal. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Ivangsa Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. All living beings are my angsa, my part and parcel, and they are eternally fragmental part and parcel. It is explained in the, of course, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but in other portions of the Vedas, it is explained that the Lord expands himself in order to enjoy pastimes. This is a very, very important aspect of our understanding of the material world. Krishna expands himself as Svangsa and Vibhinnangsa. Svangsa means Vishnu Tattva. It means plenary portions, the different avatars of Lord Krishna. There are so many different avatars, there are so many different varieties of incarnations. Many of them are Vishnu Tattva and some of them are Jiva. So, Vibhinnangsa means that Eko Bahu Shyam. Krishna was one and he desired to become many for the purpose of his own enjoyment. So, Krishna expands himself as so many parts and parcels, and because they are part of him, he has great affection for them. This is easy to understand. In our lives, we know that we came from the body of our mother. So, in that way, we are a part of the body of our mother. We were produced from her body. So our mother has a natural affection for her children. It's very natural because she just naturally feels they came from my body, they're part of me. So Krishna has a natural affection for all his parts and parcels, and Krishna enjoys ananda, ananda maya vyasa. Krishna's only business is enjoying. We were reading this morning, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do. He's completely on the dole. He has no work to do. You don't know that expression, dole, huh? In England it means unemployed. Anyway. He has no work to do. His only business is enjoyment. Whenever you never see a picture in any temple, I've never seen a picture of Krishna working. He's always just enjoying. Vishnu works, but Krishna doesn't work. He just enjoys with his devotees with his devotees in the form of gopis and sakis and cowherd boys, and with his gopis like the cows and the peacocks and his flute, and he enjoys with every one of his expansions in the spiritual world. And he derives great pleasure by loving. So that should be a key to us, how we can derive great pleasure by loving Krishna and by loving all of Krishna's parts and parcels. If we can somehow or other give up our envy of others, if we can somehow give up our greed and our lust, if we can somehow become clean in our heart so that we can see everyone, yastu sarvani bhutani, we can see everyone as simply a part of Krishna and therefore lovable by us. And if we can love others in this way, we will experience the same kind of enjoyment that Krishna is experiencing. It's a very simple point. How does Krishna enjoy? He enjoys by reciprocating rasa, rasa-vaya-saha. He's the fountainhead of all rasa, or emotional interactions with his devotees, all mellows. He's expert at enjoying rasa. So if Krishna enjoys that way, we should also try to enjoy by loving Krishna and then through Krishna loving all others. We have no friends and no enemies in this material world. We only have expansions of Krishna. That's all we have, is just expansions of Krishna. And in the same way that we love Krishna, we can love his expansions. If we're trained, we have to first of all clear all the unlimited years of accumulating bad thoughts, bad karma. We are rebellious souls. We are belligerent, foolish. But now, after Brahmanda Brahmite, after wandering through all the Brahmandas, we have come to the point of the human form of life, and we have actually become lucky. Bhagyavan means very fortunate. We've got tremendous good fortune by coming in contact with devotees of the Lord. Excellent opportunity to fine-tune our intelligence, to dissipate the cloud of illusion, to burn up the fog of darkness and confusion, and to see the truth and to make progress in realizing the truth, in living the truth, in experiencing the joy, not sukh and dukh, but ananda. Anandam buddhivardhanam means an ocean of ever-increasing happiness. And that can take place when we follow in the footsteps of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. What was the quality of Srila Prabhupada that was so obvious and so wonderful? He had love for everyone. He had a place in his heart for everyone he met. He wouldn't turn anyone away. He was so compassionate. Of course, it was love based on Krishna consciousness. If you love someone, love means that you give that person the best thing you have. As I said, I was at a wedding in London recently, and there were a number of, it was a very, very well performed wedding. The priest was a wonderful devotee, and Akhandadi Das, my godbrother, and he did everything in such a way that he explained for the guests every little ritual and item. And it's a beautiful wedding ceremony, actually. Vedic wedding ceremony it's terrible for brahmacharis, but it's beautiful for grihastas. Everything was, actually there were six sannyasis at that wedding, because the devotee who was getting married is a wonderful person. But anyway, there were many ceremonies where it was all giving. The bride was giving and the groom was giving flowers, giving garland, giving, you know, grains and this and that. So actual love is when one gives completely, expecting nothing in return. So if we can see how Krishna is giving, he's giving us so much, and what we have to do, we have to learn that art of giving without expecting in return. And when we reach that platform, then we'll understand true happiness and true bliss. So, one of Krishna's manifestations, or a manifestation of Krishna's love, is that he accompanies us wherever we go as super soul. Even though we go in some pretty abominable places, at least from our consideration, we sometimes have the body of a hog. Or even as a human being, we do some pretty abominable things. Forget hogs. Men who act worse than hogs are worse than hogs. And but Krishna accompanies us in our heart. He's constantly inviting us. The Upanishads describe like two birds seated on a tree. And this is a simple analogy, but it's so real and important. Krishna is sitting on a tree in your heart. Just imagine that. Krishna as Paramatma is seated in your heart. If you want to find Krishna, you know, you're looking here, you're looking there, where is Krishna? Krishna's right here in your heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi Ishvara sarva bhutaishu hridayse arjuna tishtati Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayse. God is there in the region of the heart. And he is just anticipating, he's just waiting for the day when we will turn to him and pray for his guidance, pray for his mercy. He wants to give more than we want to receive. So he knows everything about us. We are fully conscious as Atma, as the individual soul. We know, I know what's happening in my own body from head to toe. The consciousness travels in the blood, and the blood goes all over the body through veins and various other ways. The blood is carried everywhere. If you block the blood, then that place becomes unconscious. So the consciousness is there in the blood, and the consciousness is radiating from the soul as the blood passes through the heart, and in that way, throughout the entire body. I know what's going on. I'm conscious. But Krishna is conscious in all bodies. As super soul, Nitya Sarva Gata Stanur, the super soul, is existing everywhere. So there are two knowers of the field of activities. We have got this body by some arrangement from our purva karma, by the combination of our mother and father and their karma giving us this facility. It's a vehicle. We've wandered throughout the universe. We've come to the human form of life in search of true happiness, and we've been given an instrument. Okay. Here is your vehicle. Here is your instrument. Now you use it. Use your intelligence. Use your mind. Use everything. Sometimes people think that it is enough to just accept God blindly. I don't have to use my intelligence or technology or anything. If you can do that, that's fine. But there are very few of us who have that much sincere, pure sentiment, that we can just repose it in God. In fact, what will you use your intelligence for? If you don't use it for Krishna, you'll use it for Maya. You use it to figure out, the intelligence goes on working. It's not like you can just, click, turn it off and go back to sleep or whatever. You have to use everything God gave you and everything God is giving you and everything God will give you. You have to get into the psychology, into the methodology of using everything. Manasa deho geho yo kichumor arpilo tua padenanda kishor. Everything, my mind, my body, my griha, my family, everything, my wealth, my business. I'm turning everything to Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Thank you. Krishna's guiding us how to do this. We are eternal, and so we can take a long time if we like. but the best advice tells us that we should try to give up our rebellious nature now, because factually speaking, dvaitai badra badra gyan sarva mano dharme baloe mande sabram. The idea that there's anything in the material world for you to enjoy is foolish. Kunti Devi says that anyone who thinks that there's some happiness in this material world, he won't have enough sincerity to perfect his Krishna consciousness. So you've pretty much got to exhaust all your... You've got to burn your bridges, right? You probably know about this, burning bridges. I think some of the armies did it in the recent wars. Burning bridges was a pastime. We in America, we had one general in the American Civil War. He was called General Sherman. And he had a tactic called the scorched earth policy, that wherever he would go, if he was retreating from the army, then he would burn everything so that the attacking army, that there would be nothing for them to... Actually, Hitler, the Russians did that too with Hitler. Hitler invaded Russia, and the Russians just burned everything as they retreated. And then when Hitler got deeper and deeper into Russian territory, he had nothing to feed his soldiers. And then the winter came, and he was smashed. So that's what we have to do. We have to burn the territory. We have to burn the bridges. We have to cut off so we have nowhere to go but Krishna Loka. We have to surround our mind. See, that's what we're doing. Our mind is uncontrollable. Very, very difficult. Not only, you could put yourself in a vacuum somewhere, close off all sight and all sound and whatever, still your mind would be hard to control. But what to speak if you put yourself in a modern megapolis. You put yourself in the middle of a city full of crazy sense gratifiers, in a city full of demons, a city full of people who have no idea of the standard of human life. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha jana navidura asura nasocham nasocham. They don't know what cleanliness is. Nachapi cha nasocham napi cha charo nateshu satyam vidyate. They don't know anything about proper living. In fact, why are we so committed to Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada not only came and sold us a few books, and this is another lesson that we can learn, and I'll backed this up with an amazing statement recently. But Srila Prabhupada came, and he not only gave us philosophy, but he practically spent time with us. He lived with us. He demonstrated. He was patient. He showed us how to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to worship, how to solve our problems. He gave us a complete formula, a complete blueprint. Like when you build a house, the architect makes a plan, and then he makes a blueprint of that original plan. And he works on the blueprint to build your house. So Prabhupada gave us a blueprint of the house he wanted to build, the spiritual house. He gave us a beautiful plan. And he spent time with us. So recently, probably the most famous, senior, dynamic, powerful of all book distributors and his guru, made a statement on the congregational preaching form that, what is the use in your book distribution if you don't follow up? I'm just paraphrasing, but the point was that we have to give people knowledge, but then we also have to help them to practice the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so that it has real meaning in their lives. Otherwise, they read this, and what is all this Arjuna and the Sanskrit and Kauravas and Purusha, and what is all this jibber jumbo, And people can't understand her, but you have to, actually all of you are so nice because you were obviously yogis in your last life. We make it very, very difficult to become a Hare Krishna devotee, Sometimes, I remember once in Bombay, we were collecting for the Bombay temple, for the Vrindavan temple. So we were living, there was a temple in Juhu Beach. We had the land there. But we were a party, a Sankirtan party, and we were downtown in the middle of Bombay town because it was more convenient for going out every night and preaching. So on our party, we had quite a good crew. There was Tamal Krishna Goswami, Hari Kesha Swami, Gira Swami, and Achyutananda and Gargamuni and pretty good crew of people, as good spiritually and good materially in every way, and I won't say who was good at what. And Prabhupada used to call Gargamuni Gargamani. And he's still out there making money. But we would work hard. In the nighttime, we'd be doing program after program. We'd be out till 12, 1 o'clock at night. And then in the daytime, we would be out making life members and setting up more programs. And we hardly had any time for a morning program. We were working so hard for Krishna. And Giriraj Swami and Hari Kesh Maharaj and I used to joke sometimes, boy, you really have to be advanced to be part of this party. We're actually being facetious. So you really have to be advanced and determined to join the Hare Krishna movement, because we make it so hard for people to come. We don't take the trouble to help them, to explain the philosophy, or to show them how to live, or whatever. We don't make enough effort. I think now, more and more, we're starting to realize these things, but Krishna takes a lot of trouble to help us. And we can follow in his footsteps. Here some other points are made that are very nice. You know, that one of my favorite statements is, you know, people like to, they're called, we'll have various names. Folio, you've heard of Folio, the database with Prabhupada's books on it? Has everybody heard of Folio, the computer database? Yeah. So there are some people who we call Folio freaks, or Folio fanatics, or Folio junkies, or whatever. They love to pull out quote after quote after quote from Prabhupada's books and then throw them on a piece of paper and say, "See, I was right." You know. But William Blake, the English mystic, he was very mystical when he was taking his hashish. So he said, both read the Bible day and night, but thou readst black where I read white. So, you know, both read Prabhupada's instructions day and night, but you read black where I read white. So we have to have some standard how we will understand our Siddhanta, because you can turn things in so many different ways. The philosophy is there in the scripture. The philosophy is there in Prabhupada's teachings. It's all there, and it's, you know, it's quite clear and self-evident. And Prabhupada took a lot of trouble to explain things in his Bhaktivedanta purports. But still, you've got the folio freaks who can, you know, turn black into white and white into black and confuse everybody. The point is that we, according to the opinion of the senior members of this movement, according to a number of very specific evidences left by Srila Prabhupada, we were originally with Krishna. What's the meaning of back to Godhead? You could say back to Brahman if we came from Brahman, but we didn't. We came from Krishna Loka. We fell down into the material world. We were here for a long, long time. Then some rose up again to the Brahma Jyoti, and again they fell down. Aruya Krishchena Param Padam Tada Padantiyada. You can fall down from Brahman because it's very dry there. There's no rasa, there's no nectar of Krishna's association. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam. Great rishis and munis, they can't reach the tip of the toe of Krishna's lotus feet, and therefore they fall down. So at that time we thought, oh, I'm coming. We forgot that we were originally with Krishna. That is how some people conceive that perhaps we fell from Brahman. But the fact is that here also it is stated that we were originally with Krishna. That is the mystery of this material creation. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but due to his rebellious nature, he's conditioned within material nature. It does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. So, Prabhupada called this kaka talya nyaya. Nyaya means logic and argument. And crows make a sound in India, or at least Indians imitate crows, and Prabhupada did a very good job of it. Ka, 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 ka. So kaka, the two Sanskrit letters, ka, or ka, 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 they call it. Ka, ka, and talia means the tall fruit. There's a tree called the tall tree, tall fruit. So the kaka, or the crow, the word for crow is kaka, he was on the tree, and there was a ripe tall fruit hanging from the tree. The crow was on the branch. And there were two smart Ritviks, Brahmins, underneath the tree. And so the bird flew away from the tree, and at the same time the tall fruit fell. So the two Brahmins began to argue that one said, oh, this tree, tall fruit fell, and because the weight of the tall fruit had an equal and opposite reaction when it felt of springing the branch away, the fruit fell and the branch snapped up, that scared the crow off. And the other Brahmin said, don't be silly. The crow flew away, and as he jumped off the branch, he kicked the branch and the fruit fell. So, you know, they really had to get into it. They, you know, they wouldn't budge an inch. Prabhupada tells another story about two people who were arguing about some, how does the story go? The string and cutting the string. And anybody know that story? Yeah, I know, scissors. I've got the last part of it. I can't remember the first part of the story.
What is the best way to cut the paper?
Oh, yeah, what's the best way to cut the paper? It's a great story. And somebody wanted to use scissors, and the other guy wanted to use a knife or rip it up or something. So they were arguing about that, and finally they got into a fight over it, who would cut the paper. And they fell into the river fighting. They were like, you know, mad bulls. And it's stupid fight. I mean, if you've got to fight for something intelligent, you know. Fighting over cutting a piece of paper. But they were so intense about it. And finally, the guy who wanted to cut the paper by ripping it up, he got on top of the guy who wanted to cut it by scissors and pushed him under the water. And that guy was drowning and he was almost dead. But still, he stuck his hand up and went like this. So these two brahmanas, they were so intense that the bird flew away and the fruit fell. No, the fruit fell and the bird flew away. And they began to fight. And a devotee came along and saw the fruit and said, oh, it's ripe. And, of course, a lot of people had gathered to see the fight because people love to see fights. And so the devotee cut up the fruit and offered it to Krishna and passed it out to the crowd and distributed a book to everyone. And but it says here, if you want to discuss about it, our official ISKCON, I don't care what this mutt or that mutt said, as followers of Prabhupada, he's given us a way to manage our institution. And the official version is, although we've offered the idea that there is room for other interpretations, but as far as we can see, Prabhupada's position is that we fell from Goloka Vrindavan. How do we do that if we originally loved Krishna? Krishna knows that. You have to ask him about it. And I'm sure he'll reveal it to you, but it's not something that's immediately known. Why did we leave? You know, I come from a good home. We had a big house in a wealthy neighborhood. Everybody has his own car. There were three or four televisions in the house, and, you know, why did I run away at 17? Why did I leave home? I must have been stupid. But for some reason, my parents loved me, actually. I didn't think they did, but they did. I understand that in their own way. But I ran away from home. Went to college, whatever. But, you know, why did we run away from Krishna? It's a mistake. It really doesn't matter. What's more important is how can we act in such a way that Krishna will bring us back to him? How can we purify our lives? So I'm going to stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Another point here is Prakrite Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa. We have nothing to do with material energy. It is just the transformation. Whatever variety is there, it's just the transformation of the modes of material nature. And somehow we get into the spirit of controlling and being the doer. And Krishna says that such a person is vimudha, or very stupid, kartahamiti manyate, someone who thinks that I am the doer. He's very foolish, because the moment you think you are the doer, you also have to suffer the reactions. And there's no way you can create all good reactions. There's got to be both. This is the world of good and bad reactions, sukh and dukkh. So as long as you keep yourself in this sphere, you'll have good days, and you'll have bad days. You'll have your share. But that's, you can't win at that game, trying to increase your good days and decrease your bad days, you know, getting it all figured out. And it's beyond your capacity. Mama maya duratyaya. What you're meant to do is learn your lesson. You've been given a chance to learn a lesson. You don't belong here. You're eternal. You belong in the eternal world. Why should you? It's a bad bargain. You made a bad deal. It's a mistake. No matter how smart you are. See, I defeated material nature. I'm enjoying here a lot. It's really good. But you don't belong here. You can have a much better life. Everything materially, you'll be bored to death. You'll die from boredom. Once you've got it all, there's nothing further, because it's not endless. There's a limit to everything in the material world. So, you know, sometimes people really get high from accumulating and getting power and material things, and, you know, like Danny DeVito or something, you know. It's like, The Color of Money or something. Yeah. You know, people are just totally preoccupied with getting more. More is better. There's an idea, a rumor, that more is better. But if that were true, then all those who had more would be happy, and they're not. In fact, the general rule is that all those who have more, either they want more or they're bored. And I know quite a few mega wealthy people, seriously wealthy. And they're less happy than a simple villager. I know it for a fact. One of my godbrothers is seriously wealthy, and his wealth haven't brought him one iota of real happiness or satisfaction. Now he knows he has to give it to Krishna, and he wants to do that. But before, he was miserable. So Krishna's the controller. We have to accept that. We're not the doer. And we should just cut that knot of material affection and make progress somehow or other to go back to Godhead. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Shri Dasai Maharaj Ki.